The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
Alexa, congratulations. In front of your hometown tonight in Columbus, you are now the number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship.
Of course I'm number one contender. Doesn't matter if it's SmackDown Live, Raw, I always said that I was going to take over the women's division, and I proved it here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 143, part 1. And we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. Also, don't forget to go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max. And, of course, that's at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you go do that now. Plus, hey, do us a favor. Go rate and review. Give us 5 stars. We'll love you forever. That just kind of helps us get the word out there. That's really about it. Plus, we want to hear your comments and your thoughts about the show. Trust me, we take everything you give us, and we try to do our best to make the show what's good for you, the best way for us to help inform you about different things, or maybe we can learn something from you. So please do so. We appreciate everybody that's already done that. I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. Of course, with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And tonight, we don't have Sean, sadly. I think he's got some things going on right now. So hopefully he'll chime in. We'll see if he's able to call in. But for right now, we're going to get through this show and talk a lot about some big topics that are very interesting. And some people would say those aren't such big topics, but I think they're very, very interesting topics to get into. Like Bray Wyatt. Yeah, that's right. He's been in a little bit of a rumor mill situation because he wants more. Of course, you know, we've seen him do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but nothing great as of late. So we're going to talk about him. Plus, we're going to talk about Dash Wilder's injury. That's right, he got injured, and yeah, it's a bummer. Plus, we're also going to talk about Ring of Honor. That's right, they are going to be, being in the rumor mills also about setting up a subscription service. So we'll get into that. And plus some Ring of Honor TV tapings that took place. And we'll talk about the one that happened this week. So there you go. We've got a full show ready for you guys. We've got a lot of stuff to get into. I'm super excited about it. But man, Paul, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on in this world. And we've kind of taken a break from talking about some different things. I just got to tell you, man, I finally went to the movie theater. And I haven't been in a long time. I've kind of taken my break, I guess, in a way. I went and took my daughter to see Boss Baby today. So I got back in the theater for finally.
Did you enjoy it? Because the trailer did not seem very good to me.
You know what? You saw a good part of it. Mm-hmm. And there were some other moments that was good, but not great. Honestly, I did not find myself laughing hysterically through this movie. It was okay. Mm-hmm. My daughter liked it too, but she didn't laugh the entire way through. And she's the kind that will laugh and laugh and laugh throughout movies, you know? So that's the thing that kind of bummed me out, because I expected her to have a lot more laughs coming out of Boss Baby. So it's fun. If you want to take your kid to a clean movie that's kind of fun, it's a good one. Other than that, don't expect a ton of laughs.
Right.
You know? So But we have Mr. Sean Garmer with us, huh?
Yes.
Do we? Oh, Sean, thank goodness. I was getting concerned. Man, it's so good to have you here. And, you know, I was worried that you weren't going to be able to be on. We were just talking about Boss Baby. I took my daughter out to see Boss Baby today. So I was just kind of chiming in about that. So, but what's been going on with you, Mr. Garmer?
Wait, so are we on right now?
Yeah, we are on.
We are live.
Okay, you could have said that or something.
Oh, no, we texted it to you. You just may have missed that text message. It's okay. It's okay. So
okay, sorry. I'm reading the wrong text thing. That's why.
Ah. So, the Japanese one is not me. I don't.
Sorry. well, yeah. My mom did the usual taking Anaya to Miami to be with it's not only Anaya's birthday during the week, it was my other I guess you'd call it step-grandma's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of celebrate their birthdays together over there. So that's what they did. And, you know, they went to church and whatnot. They don't do the Easter egg deal. Very hardcore.
Religious.
Christian on that end. So, but hey, there's nothing wrong with that. You can do stuff at church and not do the Easter egg hunting thing. So I didn't really get to do Easter stuff with her. I had to work anyway. But at least she got to enjoy it and got the nice surprise that all of a sudden she likes sleeping in her room.
Oh. So,
that's a nice plus that don't have to worry about no more. They got her this Hello Kitty alarm clock. And now all of a sudden we got this alarm clock that has like a radio on it, and she likes sleeping in her room. So, yay, one thing solved.
There you go. Now you just got to get her
after
to...
years of her having to sleep with grandma or me or somebody else.
Hey, that's awesome, man.
So
you got that problem.
Thankfully at 6 years old, finally growing up, I guess, right?
That's true. Now you just got to get her into, you know, enjoying Zack Ryder matches.
Right.
You know, so... but anyway, Sean, can you hear us? I don't know if Sean can hear us. I think he's having some issues here. Hopefully not. Man, Paul, I mean, anything going on special with you lately?
Not really. Not just been hanging out, bowling, doing other stuff, you know, work, all that. Oh, you know, whatever.
Yeah, kicking it real with the bowling league. That's awesome, man. Mm. You know, that's really cool. So we just been... want to share a little bit. I mean, I didn't even mention the whole Jesus thing. I got to play Jesus this weekend, so I'm feeling very holy in this episode. But
yeah, whoever did your stigmata makeup, by the way, did an incredible job.
Thank you. It's my friend Melody. She does an excellent job. So if you live in the DFW area and you need a makeup artist, I know a really good one.
Yeah, she's phenomenal, and those pictures look great too. But
yeah, I kept thinking to myself, I'm the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Get it? You get it? Oh, that's so sacrilegious. But anyway. Yeah, guys, I mean, we have a lot to talk about here, and we are going to talk wrestling, so let's do it. Let's go ahead and talk some quick hits really quickly here. I do want to start with this Dash Wilder injury, and apparently he broke his jaw at an NXT event this last week, and that is something that I did not want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, the Revival is one of those tag teams we're looking forward to so much coming from them, jumping onto that Raw roster and, you know, really getting a running start in this thing by injuring the New Day and all that took place with that. So I just, it's really, really a big bummer that this has happened to him. And of course, to the Revival overall, Paul, I mean, oh, I hate this.
Yeah, this really, really sucks. They were getting lots of wins. They were looking like they were going to be the next feud after whatever they were going to do with Cesaro and Sheamus here. And suddenly that's out the window, which is super unfortunate. So at least, you know, July isn't like next year or something like that to where it just completely derails them. But it's long enough to where... maybe some acts get hot enough and suddenly your plans aren't as important as they were or whatever, but As I said in the Raw review, too, this could actually work out to their benefit, say by July, that they have all the legality stuff worked out and we can get the Broken Hardys on WWE television. Suddenly, the Revival coming back in with the Broken Hardys running about just got way more interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, with this whole legal situation with the Hardys, I mean, that's our best hope, right? Because other than that, I mean, you're going to have some of the same stuff we've seen so much already on Raw. And that's not appealing at all. So we've got to have the Hardys do some other things to kind of make this thing even more interesting, you know? And so I feel like, you know, the Revival can come back and they can probably come back strong. It's just that I hate that this is a big hiccup for them this early in their run, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you can't help injuries. We've seen this with Finn Balor, you know, he wins the Universal Championship and the next thing you know, he's gone for an entire year. And we've seen this with other NXT stars coming up and just, you know, finding their way to that big, you know, stage and then getting injured. So I hate this. It's a big deal for, you know, fans of the Revival. I mean, Sean, are you with us? I can't hear Sean. We've had some audio issues all of a sudden out of nowhere where Sean can't hear us. So Sean, if you can hear us at all, let us know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, Paul. I mean, here's the thing. Do you think it, hey, Sean, can you hear us? Okay, I guess. I thought it was him saying something. Do you think this is going to mess up the Revival at all? Like, do you think this is going to get people where they're like, who are they again? Or do you think they can kind of rebound from this?
You know, I mean, they haven't super established them yet. They've had the one thing with the New Day. They've had a couple of wins here or there. But it's not like they're super set in into a program or anything like that right now, especially after the Superstars shakeup where the New Day got moved and all this stuff. You do lose the little bit of momentum they had, which is very unfortunate, but you know, hopefully, like I said, July is only, what, 2-3 months away? Like, I don't feel like it's so serious an injury that it's going to be like 8 months and suddenly nobody remembers who these guys are as far as casuals go or anything like that, so I think they'll be okay. But you never know this day and age either.
Yeah, you don't, you know. It sure is, you know, once again, a big bummer. And we'll be, you know, following this story along and really just kind of hoping the best for the Revival. Because this is a team that I really feel like they were going to give a lot of depth. And they were going to also be a new spark for this Raw tag team division. Mm-hmm. And with them no longer a part of that, I'm just so concerned. We're going to kind of see the same old same. And that is not good, at least in my book. Because we just talked about this when we did our Raw review. We kind of talked a little bit about that. We had a match that I kind of felt like we'd seen too many times already. So we'll get into that and we'll really kind of figure out, you know, from here. But I think that they need to get back as soon as they can. Let's talk about Shelton Benjamin. Now, Shelton Benjamin's a guy that, you know, once again, another guy that was supposed to be jumping on to SmackDown Live, found out that he was, you know, needing surgery, had to go get surgery, took his time. And now, you know, they say, well, he's healthy again. He can come back. But right now, he's in a situation where he never even got signed with WWE. So this is kind of an interesting situation because of the fact that, you know, that injury went down and he wasn't technically a part of the WWE roster at the time. So what do you think is going to go on with this, Paul, from here with this Shelton Benjamin situation and the plans that, you know, could be going on for him in the future?
You know, the really interesting part in all this is that the injury apparently happened or came up during the physical that you have to do before they sign you. And that's why the contract never got signed and all this other stuff. And it's really odd that they were airing video packages if all that was true. But it is what it is at this point. Whether Shelton comes back or not is sort of up in the air from what he said on his Twitter page. It's not like anything is set in stone for him to be there. It's not like there's a spot waiting for him. And with all the new talent that they just got brought up and all the shifting around they did, I don't know if there's really a place for Shelton on the card anymore. But, you know, we could still see him here. He's working indies. He's going to be working actually here in Dallas for VIP Wrestling at their next show, Kings of the South, and I think it's at the end of this month. So, I mean, he's out there, he's being booked in places, whether this means, like, yeah, I mean, he could go back to New Japan, too, for all we know, but as of right now, he's free agent, and, you know, best of luck to him.
I wonder if the fans would care in New Japan if all of a sudden they bring him back for Suzuki Gun, even though his spot kind of got taken already. So, that would be interesting. Maybe him and Zack Sabre Jr. can have a match to see if Loser leaves Suzuki Gun or something. Wouldn't complain about that, honestly. But, the thing is with him, if Drew McIntyre's back doing an NXT run, why not Shelton Benjamin? They need people.
Where's a spot in that show, though? Like, I feel like after everything that's happened recently, and you know, they have, like, they freshened it up some and moved people along, but I don't see Shelton fitting in there well either. Like,
there's always a spot for somebody in NXT. They can decide to take one of those squash matches off and have him on there. I just don't. If you're going to make a spot for another older guy to come back because he's having sort of a indie resurgence, I mean, couldn't you say the same thing for Shelton? I don't know. If you want to just have him on your roster, I'm just saying, if you want to just have him on your roster and you don't have a spot for him on SmackDown or Raw, it's something you can do.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's just it doesn't really interest me to see him in NXT at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they could add him to NXT. They could do different things with him. It just makes me really wonder if their interest is waning since they had first started this conversation. And I understand what kind of value he is because he's a big-time talent, but also we also don't know the money situation, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what they promised him then and what they're going to say they're going to give him now because he never officially signed. So that handshake you could have gotten from Triple H or from whoever else in WWE could have said X number of dollars and then it changed completely to a different amount. And now that they've had their whole change up on their rosters and everything has kind of evolved, he's no longer a priority. He's no longer a big deal after WrestleMania or during WrestleMania. So That could be something that we really haven't mentioned about it. That could be a big part of this as well. And I mean, I haven't seen Shelton Benjamin complain, say anything bad in WWE, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it maybe just not working out right now. It could maybe a couple of years from now, maybe a year from now. Who knows?
I just wonder if maybe WWE decided that, you know, because remember they were supposed to have all these, and I mean, they could still show up for the tournament or whatever and not show up for anything else, but they were supposed to have all these, you know, Kelly and Eve Torres and all these people come back, and they didn't come back either. Maybe they, with all the people they brought up, they said, we don't need all this. You know, same thing with, like, the Headbangers didn't stay very long. They decided we don't need all this, these veterans coming back. And they decided, oh, well, we're just going to stick with the NXT guys, and Shelton, we kind of don't have a spot for you now. And, you know, who knows what it is. I still think that he could help the people coming up in NXT if you want to have a guy or don't know that he'd want to be there to be a trainer or anything like that. But again, if you want to give him a spot because you feel bad that he got hurt, if that's ever a conversation you have. But I'm just starting to wonder if they decided, well, we don't need to, because never that was a big deal. Like, at first they wanted, that's why Jinder was there, and I have a feeling if let's say Curt Hawkins or Jinder are having the same problem, they're going through this too, because they may not have a job right now if we're talking about a few months down the line after the brand extension has worked, and they go, well, I don't know that we need all these people coming back from before. Just let's use people we got.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on that. they're looking at, you know, I'm sure multiple situations and the talent they have, you know, and I'm always interested in how they do that, right? Of how they evaluate, you know, who's worth keeping around, who's not really doing anything for them. And it really does kind of boggle your mind with a guy like Shelton Benjamin and how much he could offer. Like, why you couldn't make him a deal. I definitely don't think he's ready for a developmental deal where he's, you know, training or coaching. Because I think the guy wants to offer so much more in the world of wrestling until he gets to that point in his career where he's just, you know, sitting back and helping. So, I don't know. It's very interesting. And I think you guys brought some great points to this. We'll have to follow Shelton Benjamin and kind of see what he actually is going to do. But I would love to see him in New Japan again.
All I could think of is him doing something with, like, they didn't do anything with Kurt Angle in American Alpha. I wonder if having Shelton, you know, do something with American Alpha to spruce it up a bit, or it's the only thing that comes into my mind other than just being a guy.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I don't understand why Impact hasn't got this guy. Like, he's a free agent. Why not? Why don't they have him signed to a deal, right? They're supposed to be, you know, making a big deal about the fact they've got so many new talent. I get it. They're using a lot of Jeff Jarrett's guys from his Global Force Wrestling, but come on, you can still add a guy like Shelton Benjamin and really boost your roster up, I think.
It might be the same idea where they've approached him and he just said no.
But they're like, well, we have Karen Jarrett here. Why you don't want you want to come?
Maybe God. That's what they are like. And he's like, no, thank you.
It's like, I mean, what is the plus side there?
Yeah, really. Like, I'd rather go hang out with Bobby Fish. So, but who knows? We'll see what happens with Shelton Benjamin. You know, let's move on.
I think I'd rather go hang out with Bobby Fish, too, than hang out with Karen Jarrett on a show.
Hey, heck yeah. Come on, really. The possibilities are way greater. But I want to jump into what, you know, is going around when it comes to the world of rumors, and that's about Bray Wyatt. Now, Bray Wyatt has been a guy that we've seen kind of do it, you know, he's had to do whatever the company asked him to do and when it comes to these storylines and all the above. But there's rumors that he's really lobbying backstage that he needs more, that he needs to have, you know, better storylines, that he wants some things creatively different so he can get back to where I think he felt like he once was. And it's just been a kind of a weird, I don't know, I want to say a downward spiral, but just kind of a weird flow of his career right now and the situations that they put him in creatively. I mean, this is, once again, it's a rumor, so we can't say that this is a fact or this is something that we've, you know, got official word on, but how do you feel about this situation overall? Because I'm really kind of curious how you guys feel about Bray, but not only that, how you feel that the guys backstage in that creative department feel.
This is kind of interesting because apparently they never reached a decision about who was going over in the World Heavyweight title match at WrestleMania until the day of, and that really frustrated him because apparently they went back and forth on whether he was going to retain or not. He's also very apparently upset about the move to Raw because he feels like it's not as open and there's not as much for him to do over there for whatever reason. But I can understand the frustration whenever you're in something so hot with Randy, and then suddenly they just take all that momentum away, and you're sort of left scrambling, doing promos about a guy who's not even on the show, and you can't interact with face to face or anything like that. So, I understand the frustration. There's a lot for him to do on Raw with a bunch of the new guys. It just all depends, really, on how far they're going to let him go. Obviously he's feuded with pretty much everybody over there except for Seth and Joe and some of the other, you know, newer guys that they have in the top of the card. But I mean, it's not like they can't come up with something or whatever, but I him and Finn is an insanely intriguing idea too. But I mean, you know, he's not going over Finn either. So.
Yeah. Especially if they're having Finn go out there and be in squash matches on Raw, you're not having Bray just go on and win. That's the thing, though. It's weird. It feels like he should have said this a long time ago, right? Or that this should have come out a long time ago. And it's weird that, you know, we're just hearing about this now, or maybe he's just finally gotten vocal about it now because he finally won the championship. And then you don't really seem to know what's going on with him. And that's not good. Like, I understand on his perspective, you're the champion. You're telling him that he's going to have this sort of longish run with it. And then he loses at WrestleMania like we all thought he would. And it's just like, I'd be pissed too. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I finally got my chance to prove that I could do something. I don't know that it was going over all that well, but you're in a feud with Randy Orton. I mean, it's not a whole lot you can do there. The dude's not the most exciting person. But it did something for Randy as far as the arson thing and all that. I don't know. What, Bray's been directionless forever, so it's kind of weird that we're just now getting into this whole, hey, Bray's upset about what's going on with him.
Yeah, you know, I think probably it's been a situation where he's kind of felt like he's needed to listen to what they have to say and not put too much, you know, of his own opinions into it, probably because, you know, he knows that could possibly get him more in trouble than really help him. But the situation that has come about, really, he's in a no-win situation, right? And it's almost like it's time for him to step up and start, you know, making his voice heard, because he's got a great point. There's really no room for him to do great things on Raw. And you're going to have names they want to get over more than anybody else. You got Braun Strowman right now on fire. Mm-hmm. You've got Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, two guys that are going to be in the top no matter what they do, unless they completely just dissolve socially in, you know, their society. And then, of course, you know, you also have a few other guys that they kind of like and they put in a big picture, like Dean Ambrose. I mean, right now he's in the mid-card, but wouldn't be a surprise one day if he pops up. Seth Rollins is up. My God, the list is going on, and I haven't even completed everything. So that's the deal. And I think that's why Bray Wyatt's finally saying, look, guys, I get it. You wanted me to come over maybe to kind of have just a spark, a big name, but you're really hurting me here, because now I'm going from being a world champion to being somewhere possibly in a mid-card, but really no direction at all. And this is just bad news for my career. What can happen next? I mean, are you going to put me, you know, on 205 Live or somewhere else where it doesn't make a lot of sense, because this is just not going anywhere for me? So I just think that that's why he's finally making his voice heard. It's probably the breaking point, you know.
This is always something that I find really interesting with WWE guys, is when do they finally draw the line of, hey, I'm a company guy and I'm going to do what you tell me to, hey, I'm this guy and I feel like I could really do something for the company if you let me, and, you know, now you're sort of derailing me. Like, when do you cross that line? When do you finally have enough? Like, some guys it seems to go on a lot longer, some guys it's a lot shorter, but that's always something I'd be interested to hear from any wrestler that's ever worked in the WWE, if you ever had a shot at the main event. Like, where's the line for you, you know?
I think it even says on the report, though, that it's one of those, it seems like he didn't feel it until he was champion that he had the ability to really stand up and say something. Mm-hmm. That now that he'd won the championship, he should be viewed differently, right? And that's the truth. Like, once you are telling somebody that we think you're good enough to carry our brand in a way, whether it's for 2 months or a year, you should be viewed in a different light than somebody that's just been perennial mid-card or even lower. You know, it's, some guys are vocal regardless, but it seems like the respect thing comes from, okay, once I hit that level, I win a championship, I now have the ability to have a little bit of say. And maybe he feels like, again, that they've been telling him this, and he goes, look, you kind of sabotaged me being a champion. This is where I draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest, that WrestleMania match was terrible, so I'm sure that doesn't leave a great taste in his mouth either.
Right, but like we were saying earlier, like, he's been sort of mishandled, I think, since the Cena feud after that, so, like...
But I want to know whose idea that was, though.
It took this long for them to cross the line, is all I was getting. Like, this is where he draws it now, you know? Like, that's interesting to me.
I think, too, it's like, the thing with the brands is difficult, right? Because you think you're finally going somewhere on SmackDown, and then you get shifted over to a show where we talk about it, and I'm sure he's not an idiot. He knows who's on that brand and who's important to that company, and he goes, oh, here I go again. I'm just wandering around in the darkness, literally,
mm-hmm.
because they don't really have anything for me important to do. Now, great, he's in a feud with Finn, but we just talked about how he's not going to come up on the other end of that.
Right.
I mean, if he was booked stronger, he could have had a feud with Brock, you know, but I'd hate for him to be in a feud with Brock right now, because it'd be worse than him having this feud with Finn, honestly.
Yeah, Squash City.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm a huge fan of Bray Wyatt, and I think a lot of him, and I just want the best for him. And, you know, at least he's letting his voice be heard, and at least they know he cares about what he's doing in his craft. And he's not just saying yes, 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 and letting himself go down, you know, to a bad, you know, place in his career. I really, really hope that they do find a way to adjust things, to move him in a place where he can be successful and continue what he was doing. And that's just being a creepy guy that is very much a mystique and a guy that really kind of does scare people in a way. So I want to see. I really do want to see him getting back in some title picture, even if we have to go back to the mid-card for him, but do something to really make him feel important again. And we'll see what that is in the near future. But yeah, they haven't done really much of anything with him so far. I do want to talk about something really quickly before we move on to some Ring of Honor talk here. Rusev and Lana, as we know, moved to a different show, right? They're now on SmackDown Live, and when they come back, there's been talks that they're going to get a split. And with these two superstars, it could work in several different ways, but, I mean, I think that they could, you know, have some success with Rusev without Lana, because, you know, they've done it before, really. And there's not much of a problem with, I think, him. It's the curiosity of how well Lana will make it on her own, I think, for a lot of people, because we've yet to really see that in a clear picture, because she'll be wrestling instead of just, you know, standing around. So, I don't know, guys. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think the split's going to be successful for either of them, or do you think one's going to be left in the dust?
Yeah, it didn't really work out well for him the first time around. Rusev sort of... I mean, and granted, they weren't booked strongly either. Like, Lana became side piece for other people, and Rusev just kind of dilly-dallied around, and that was it. I mean, we know Rusev can sort of hold his own on the microphone, so it's not like he absolutely needs Lana, but I don't know. I feel like Lana adds something to the gimmick in a way. Maybe not as much as it did when they first got there, but even still, like, they have good chemistry together. It works. I don't. But if they're intent on trying to get Lana over on her own, then wrestling seems like a bad way to do that. She doesn't seem to be overly talented in that respect.
I mean, for me, as long as she's decent enough, I think you're fine in that regard. I mean, you've got veterans over there that can help her along. If you're trying to have her have the Eve Marie role, where she's not going to take care of her, but of the person that you kind of really want to build the division around, but you just don't want to say it because you like the way she looks or whatnot. At least she's been trying in NXT, and we've seen her be on house shows, and she was decent in that WrestleMania match where she was obviously protected being in a multi-person environment, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't see why they have to be split up in order for her to do, in order for her to wrestle, unless we're going to split them up entirely from the fact that all of a sudden Lana is not going to speak Russian anymore and all that kind of stuff, which we've talked about a bunch of different times of, you know, they're going to pull that trigger. They already did it on Total Divas where she just completely herself. She makes no bones about she's playing a character, and she turns the accent on when there's something WWE related, and then she's the American girl trying to get married on Total Divas. So, you know, as could they go? I mean, we've seen them do this, right? With Total Divas involved, they automatically make this assumption that you're watching it, and all of a sudden, hey, Lana's here, and hey, she's not Russian anymore. Or whatever. I hope they don't have to make them like split, as in they're supposed to try to make it seem like they are having some kind of problem in order for Lana to wrestle. But let's see how they handle this. I'm going to be kind of upset if Vince is still in this mode of, I'm going to screw him up, damn it. And make it seem like they had to split up in order for Lana to do her thing. Hopefully it's just one of those where she just says, hey, Rusev, you know, or Rusev just tells her, hey, let me do this thing on my own. And then she, you know, I don't know how they could present it in storyline about Lana wanting to wrestle and Rusev being okay with it, but I'd hope they go that route, not some contrived I hate you now thing.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of interesting if they do that, you know, and do that whole process again. And I'm just, you know, really curious to see, you know, if they're going to try to completely overhaul Lana's character and do that, or if they're just going to do that slow kind of change and just kind of say, you know what, I don't want to be the same. It would not surprise me if we don't even see them together. Like, they kind of just do their own thing immediately. But, you know, on the other hand, I can see the other way as well. So I just thought it was interesting, you know. I really did, because, you know, we've seen them together for so long now, and it's just going to be so different, you know, seeing Rusev be the guy he is, and especially with them doing that whole handsome Rusev thing. Are they going to keep that up? That's another question too, you know. So, well, I want to, you know, kind of throw out something that's kind of interesting as well. Ring of Honor has been talking about doing a subscription service. You know, and this is kind of interesting because of the fact that they do have kind of their own thing going on their website, but nothing like they're talking about here, Paul.
Yeah, it's just a development. Like, it's not a sure thing. It's also, you know, another rumor thing. But, I mean, it's the big thing that's been holding them back from even releasing their full content as video on demand on their website or anything like that was all the copyright claims they have from using studio music and, you know, mainstream album stuff like that. So that's been a big deal, and they would obviously have to dub over all that if they're going to release all of their content. And, you know, I mean, it's, I feel like it's harder for companies that are like Ring of Honor. I mean, Ring of Honor certainly has more content than everybody. They've been on TV for a while, so they have all that. They have their old shows from way back too. So, I mean, there's plenty for them to put up there. It's just, I can't imagine this is going to be all that cheap, especially them having to dub over some 100, you know, 200 shows before they get to the part where they started using, where they started licensing music in 2009-ish.
You know, it's hard to feel bad for a company that's owned by a big old corporation that could easily delegate or hire people that know their stuff when it comes to to digital media and how to do the overdubs or get a music company to make original music or whatever and start working on that. You know, WWE does it. Yes, they have a lot of experience doing it. But again, it's not like there's not people out there that Sinclair could go find to start building this up if they really want to make this happen. But anything that has to do with Sinclair or ROH at this point, I kind of just put in the rumor mill and don't pay a lot of attention to it because we hear rumors about Ring of Honor and Sinclair doing stuff all the time and then nothing happens. So until there's an actual product, that's sort of when I'll get excited. I mean, they obviously care about their content. You know, they made sure that they killed that Ring of Honor archive that was going around for a little while for a reason, because they want you to buy their video on demand content. They want you to be part of the ringside thing so you can get their old stuff. Just really wish they would come up. There's got to be some people there that see the value of the network. I understand that all of a sudden, once you have something like that, you can't charge $35 for a pay-per-view, and that's probably what bothers them. But you got to get with the times at some point, Ring of Honor.
Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, I think of Ring of Honor as being one of those companies that, you know, they have high aspirations. They really do try to reach for the stars, but yet some of the big ideas that they have just never get full attention. And not only that, they just never come to fruition completely. So this subscription thing is interesting. It's neat, but I'm very leery of it actually coming into play and actually taking place. I could see them getting, you know, almost there and then just shutting it all down. Who knows? But at the end of the day, you know, Ring of Honor has a catalog of great content. They have so much that they could offer. It's just going to be up to them how they want to delegate it and how they're going to figure this whole thing out. And like Sean said, I mean, they've got a big corporation behind them that could really, you know, get them some good hands on their product and really get them some ideas on what they can do. It's just, are they willing to, you know, spend the funds on it? I have a lot of concerns that they're probably not at this time. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what's going to take place with all that. And, you know, Ring of Honor, once again, I mean, they have so many, you know, great things to offer. It's just, you know, sometimes you just don't know what they're thinking. You know, one last thing before we get out of quick hits here, guys. And this is kind of a funny piece of news that I just had to talk about really quickly here. And Sean, you're going to love this, but Big E is now going to be officiating weddings if you need him. Think about that.
God. That's awesome. could you see it?
Oh, man.
Could you see it with him? I just... Big E, you know, next time we know somebody we all mutually know has a wedding, we got to try to get Big E here.
Yeah. I just want to know what he's charging, though. That's the only thing that makes me terrified is how much is he charging and do I get a free box of Bootios when he comes?
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? Married by Big E and a box of Bootios. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, instead of rice, Bootios get thrown at you, right? I mean, come on, it's endless. You don't need cake. You just get some of those, you know, what do they call them? I don't know, the popsicle things that they have, you know?
Yeah, just after I do's, he's there with the bag and the ladle and just pouring them down the bride and groom's throats after they're done.
Yes!
Nothing says married like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Man, I now want this to happen. Now I want to go to a wedding with him there. man, you know, my wife decorates for weddings and does that kind of stuff. I just, man, let me see if she can get him on the pricing and figure this out. I did wonder how much he charges, though. I mean, it's got to be a pretty good amount. I'm sure you're not spending anything less than $2,000 probably just to get him to show up. So, but that would used to be a blast, man. If anybody's getting married, you know, that's listening to us right now, please do this so we can hear about it. We can watch the video. But anyway, I just had to throw that out there. I thought that was hilarious. I mean, he's bringing the power of positivity to weddings everywhere in one near you, probably. So that's quick hits for us, though, guys. We had a few things here to talk about, but we are going to move on now, and we've got to talk some Ring of Honor TV. And so let's go ahead and jump into that. We had a few things that are kind of interesting here, Paul, that really bring us into what's going to happen next.
Absolutely. Just let me get there on my notes here real fast. They do open with a quick... a quick recap or a quick, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a quick prologue of what the main event for the evening is going to be. They're calling it a wild card 8-man tag. Essentially, two teams of four are randomly chosen. The winning team gets to go on to have a fatal 4-way the next week, with the winner getting a future world title shot. The teams are, we'll just go ahead and talk about the match now. Jay White, Jay Lethal, Adam Page, and Silas Young team up to take on Hanson, Colt Cabana, Leo Rush, and Bobby Fish. For me, it was slow to start. It eventually finds its way to the fun stuff you expect from the multi-man tags where everybody's doing the big spots and everything. And Lethal ends up catching Rush with the Lethal Injection to get the win for his team after Adam Page sort of walks out on him after Lethal inadvertently ran into him earlier. And this allows Kazarian to come out and attack him, so they keep all that going. But next week in that four-way, it'll be Lethal, White, Page, and Young trying to battle it out for the world title shot. What are your thoughts on this, Gary?
You know what? This is just a lot of fun. I could sit here and try to break down everything that took place, but this is just a ton of fun to watch. You know, you're right, Paul. This did start a little slow. I think once you get to the meat of it, though, it really started to pick up pace. And, of course, you get to some of the interminglings of the feuds taking place now, and there's just a lot going on. The one thing I took away from this is, you know, they had so much that they needed to get across in this show that this is probably one of the better ways of doing that. Not only that, you know, it's kind of interesting to me, too, that Leo Rush, you know, was the one that got the pin, you know, took the pin, excuse me. So that was kind of interesting because it makes me wonder if at this time they kind of understood he was on his way out, you know. Mm-hmm. So they were just, yeah, we'll let him lose. And Jay Lethal, being the guy that gets the victory, also says something to me, too, because for a while now, Jay Lethal has not exactly done a whole lot. And we got to see that awesome match where he was, you know, the bell and a rope match, whatever you want to call that. That was great between him and Cody Rhodes, but besides that, just has not done a lot. So it was nice to kind of see him get a little bit of a victory here, look good. Everybody else involved was just awesome. So, I mean, I think it was pretty solid for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, Lethal, I think, still has the title shot that he earned from the 15th anniversary show, too. I don't think he's cashed that in yet, at least as far as I'm aware. So, like, if he happens to win next week, does that mean he has two? Or are we just going to forget about 15th anniversary? I don't know. But
It seems like very WWE of them to do that, right?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, please don't do that, Ring of Honor. No, that's a great point. And I wish, you know, if Jay Lethal remembered this, he would bring it up too, because it really doesn't need to be in the match then. Really, whoever wins that, if anything else, they face Jay Lethal to move on, you know, to get a title shot. So, I don't know. That is very funny, though. It really is. And if Jay Lethal wins, it's kind of pointless.
Right. Kind of pointless. Like I said, unless we're forgetting about 15th anniversary, which you never know. They could. Mm-hmm. The show proper actually opened with Caprice Coleman taking on Chris Sabin. Leo Rush is out here, too. He sort of gets involved after Kenny gets involved, and you have a whole bunch of screwy finish here, but Chris Sabin does defeat Caprice with a sunset flip, essentially. This is sort of, I had the same feelings about this as the main event. It's a little dull at the start. Sabin sort of starts kicking it up, and then both guys sort of start doing the big stuff. And I mean, it's fine overall. It wasn't overly thrilling for me as the Rebellion and Seek and Destroy, which is the Motor City Machine Gun led contingent with all the rookies who have pretty much left the company now, continues to rage on.
Yeah, this is nothing to write home about at all. It's okay, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, both these guys are pretty good wrestlers, and they put their time in, but it was nothing that was super special. Leo Rush kind of helps the thing along. You know, of course, you got Kenny King interfering too at times. I didn't walk away with this, you know, one way or the other, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, nice for, you know, Chris Sabin, but besides that, you know, it is what it is.
Exactly. We get some recap of the six-man tag team title match from the last week's show. They also let us know that the Top Prospect Tournament finale will be shown next week on Ring of Honor TV as Josh the Good Woods takes on John Skyler. So, got all that to look forward to. Last little bit to talk about here, Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara team up to take on Roppongi Vice. I really enjoyed the crap out of this match. It starts out with the fun little bits with Rocky and Cheeseburger going back and forth. It builds up into some really great wrestling. Cheeseburger and Ferrara actually get a lot more than I ever thought they would during this, and it's not enough, however, for them to overcome as Cheeseburger eats Strong Zero, and they lose. And once again, Will Ferrara walks out on Cheeseburger after the match and doesn't even do the Code of Honor. So, incoming split for that team. Roppongi Vice looks strong here. Like I said, I really enjoyed this. This is the best part of the show for me.
You know, it was a lot of interesting because of the fact that I kind of felt like this was a New Japan match. You know, I know it sounds kind of funny for me to say that, but some of the hilarious, just over-the-top things that took place in this match, just I thought, man, this could have been in a New Japan show. And that's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that you're right. This is probably one of the biggest highlights of the show. I think they really put in a good effort on both, you know, tag teams in this and everything involved. So, I don't know, Paul. I mean, I think for the most part, they just gave you a good outing. And, you know, it's no surprise to me that Roppongi Vice won this match. And not only that, that we had Will Ferrara kind of walk out again,
right,
like the normal thing. And I can't, honestly, I was waiting for it during the match, to be honest with you. I thought this big matchup was going to be, like, you know, close to where they'd win, and then, you know, Ferrara to kind of screw it up, or Cheeseburger would, and one would turn on the other and it'd be gone before the match was over. I kind of mm-hmm. thought that would happen. So, little surprise they waited till the end here, but, you know, it was good.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that pretty much covers this week's Ring of Honor. Not exactly the most exhilarating episode or the most important as far as stories and stuff like that goes, but next week should be pretty awesome, so let's hope for best. Well, let's hope for better, even, if I can learn how to speak English.
Yeah. It's because I mentioned Japan. That's the only reason. but anyway, yes, I can't wait for next week to see, you know, what happens in Ring of Honor. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up everything we have for you tonight, everybody. We thank you for, you know, coming out and joining us tonight. And of course, you know, we'll be back with you guys on Thursday for part two of this show. Paul has a wedding to go to, so he won't be with us, sadly. But me and Sean are looking forward to carrying this thing and really getting you involved in some great discussions when it comes to Impact Wrestling, some other big wrestling topics to get into, and a lot more. So don't miss part two of this show. It's going to be a blast. And, of course, you know, we also have the SmackDown Live and the 205 Live shows that will be taking place this week, along with NXT. Those review shows will be great, too. So trust me, you're going to be looking forward to those. Because it's just full of great content. Once again, W2Mnet.com, don't forget about it. It's one of the best places you can go to find some of the greatest content when it comes to the world of wrestling and the podcast and, of course, everything that we have to offer you guys. Also, once again, don't forget to subscribe to Wrestling to the Max. Go rate and review. Do all that great stuff. And, you know, we hope that you've enjoyed your time here. And for myself, for Paul, and for Sean, if you guys aren't living life to the max,
you're not living life at all.
You know it. Later, everybody.
Later.